from the live stream studios in Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is my partner here at Cheesehead TV, Mr. Corey Banky. We are joined on our live chat by our live blog guru, Jamie Snowden, and our Cheesehead TV marketing director, Alex Talish, along with the best and the brightest from around the Packers blogosphere. So, Corey, why don't you tell us what is on tap tonight?
Later tonight, we will be joined by NBC Sports Network and SiriusXM NFL radio star Ross Tucker, who will help us break down the upcoming showdown with the Seahawks. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Aaron Rodgers.
Your PFWA MVP.
Davante Adams.
Trucking through the rookie wall.
Mike Daniels.
He's got the power. He's got the soul.
And we got the bad. We got Morgan Burnett.
Wrap up, buddy.
Tremont, my man, Williams.
One brutal play.
Ha-ha, Clinton Dix.
Those angles, those moves, everything about it. Oh, bad, bad, bad.
And we got the ugly. We got Jerry Jones.
Enough said.
That's all I have to say about
but
that.
But seriously, though, some in the comments were taking issue with me putting Jerry Jones in the ugly and not Brad Jones. And I can understand Brad
could do
Jones.
Either one.
I can understand the
could
frustration when it comes to Brad Jones. But Jerry Jones will always live in the ugly category so long as there is a Cowboys team that plays the Packers. Sorry. You know, he wants to do away with revenue sharing, people. He wants to do away, basically, with the Green Bay Packers. If it was up to Jerry
Pretty
Jones,
much.
The Packers would not exist.
Oh, definitely not.
So he's the devil, people. And every time we beat his sorry-ass team, I'm going to put him in the ugly. That's all I got to say about
Speaking
that.
Speaking of beating his sorry-ass team.
Yes.
NFC Championship.
How about that? The Green Bay Packers are back in the NFC Championship
One
game.
One game away from the Super
from
Bowl
the big dance.
Of life. Cannot wait.
You're going to be there, aren't
I'm
you?
I'm going to be there. I'm going to be on the front row, seat 105.
How you roll.
I'm going to be in the end zone with my makeup on, going full on. I'm going to look just like the poster. You'll know. Mm-hmm. You've seen me. It'll look like mm-hmm. the poster. People will be scared. People will try to, they'll be jealous of me in Seattle.
Pretty much.
They'll think the 12th man is not working, which is what the whole thing is. And so we're going to give away. I personally got this.
Yes, you did. Look at you bringing back swag.
This Sunday at the divisional playoff game, it's right here on your screen. Get loud, Lambo.
Get loud, Lambo.
Get loud, Lambo. Towel. It lived in my pocket. And also where's the card? So you also
sounds,
have the player card.
That sounds wrong.
It doesn't have any spilled beer on it like the other one my girlfriend got. So we're going to go with this one.
Throwing her under the bus in the first 5 minutes of the show.
And,
I like
yeah, you can win it. Now what you need to do...
What do you need to do, Corey?
You need to tweet, I'm watching Packer Transplants on at Cheesehead TV, sponsored by at Wisco Disco Beer. You know the drill.
You know the drill, people.
If you want to win, I'm going to send it to you. I can't guarantee I'll get it to you this
weekend.
This was
given out. This was given out. Divisional playoff game wherein the Green Bay Packers whooped up on the Dallas Cowboys.
You know you want it. I mean, this is better than a giveaway because this was there.
This is history.
This is a little piece of history just for you.
This ain't no kitty towel from Carolina days back in the day.
No, but I have one of those.
I know you do.
I
like that. This is good stuff right
here. I like the kitty towel.
Get loud, Lambo.
So we kick their ass.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of kicking their ass.
And it's still, by the way, it still has the $10 off on Kroll at Kohl's, by the way.
I love how Corey keeps this on here so people know it's authentic.
Yeah, it's mint. Well, mint. It's near mint.
Near mint.
It's crumpled mint, up mint.
Mint having been traveling in your pocket. Mint.
That was in Lambo. That was my grandfather's seat.
There you go. How was it, by the way? How was Lambo?
Interesting.
Oh, no. I got to say, I think Zach Cruz pointed this out on Twitter during the game. It's the fourth quarter. You've just got a big third down stop, and that's as loud as you can get. For a Get Loud Lambo campaign building up all week, it wasn't very loud at Lambo on Sunday. Would you concur with that finding there? There,
it was loud. Here's the issue with on TV, right? How loud a stadium is has everything to do on television with where they put the microphones. And they tend to put the microphones at the 50-yard line, which is actually the least loud place at Lambeau. I would think that the end zones are the loudest, especially the end zone with the buildup.
The southern.
And I actually was talking to, we're going to talk about him later, Jerry Garner, the president of Northwest Packerbackers.
There you go.
Who talked to me about how the Packers have copied a lot of what they've done in Seattle with the CenturyLink. To about noise and bounce off. And they've
That's and the extension. The
way
extension.
They've done the extension is to get it a little bit louder. But I would agree. I think my, you know, playoff games tend to bring out the more diehards. That I found in the past.
You would hope.
But the issue was the tickets weren't that expensive.
Right.
So, you know, it was kind of like a social gathering more than it was a football game. It did. It felt like a divisional playoff from the beginning. But even in our section, like people were sitting down, had the classic regular season vibe because it wasn't that cold, too.
So
people were going in and out. Like in our section, people were going in and out.
People were going in and out?
See.
During the game?
See, I've gotten my division. I've got my playoff mojo back. There was a little bit of a lesson that I needed to learn where I almost didn't make a playoff game because I was drunk the night before. But that's only happened to me one time and it will never happen again.
Never again.
And so, you know, I had my coffee and that's it. I didn't have a beer until the end of the game. Not a lot of people believe me.
I totally believe you.
And, you know, what's great about that is once you go in for the national anthem, it's done.
You sit down.
You wait until the end of the game, and it's over. And a lot of people going in and out. You know, you have your brat when you go in.
You got to have your brat.
Got to have your brat before you get at the seats,
yeah,
you know.
Absolutely.
And it was great. I mean, Lambeau is Lambeau.
It's awesome. No matter
what
you
do. It's awesome.
But the idea of people coming and going during the game.
It was really annoying. It just felt like, in my section.
It's diehard time,
I think that's the problem why people weren't that loud.
Right.
But people were loud. It was louder than a regular season game, for sure.
Then that came across.
And also, the Seahawks, like, they tend to be, that stadium tends to be a little bit louder because of the way it's built, I do believe.
Absolutely. No,
and maybe when they get the extension on the other side.
Maybe. We'll see. I don't know. So anyway, big win. Let's run through some Packers news here real quick before we have to call Mr. Tucker. Aaron Rodgers, Josh Sitton both listed as limited. Aaron Rodgers was not seen in the media portion of the practice today. Apparently Matt Flynn and Scott Tolzien took all the snaps / reps at the quarterback position, at least in what was open to the media. Aaron obviously spoke later. At the podium for the NFL-mandated NFC Championship Week press conferences. Get those all revved up. You know, very much from everything he said on his radio show to everything Mike has said throughout the week, it certainly sounds like they're on the same schedule they were on last week. Obviously, you hope there's no setbacks and you can't expect any if he's not really practicing. It's just lots of rest and lots of treatment. So, crossing fingers, saying prayers, hoping that calf holds up for game day. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, today the PFWA, that's the Pro Football Writers of America, released their end-of-year awards, and lo and behold, there's Mr. Aaron Rodgers, the league MVP. Now, this is not the MVP recognized by the NFL in their honors program. Saturday night before the Super Bowl, but as Corey says, it is a precursor. You have to think it most likely be very similar when the AP releases their awards. I mean,
it's more of a precursor than the Golden Globes are to the Oscars.
I should hope so. Especially since Birdman was robbed. I'm sorry, but you know, when you've got a film like Grand Budapest Hotel, which is a fine work and everyone in it is amazing and it's beautiful to look at, but you don't care about a single person in that film. And then you go to Birdman, and it's like you care so deeply, at least about the main character in that film. Birdman was robbed.
You know who wasn't feeling Birdman?
Who's that?
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, well, I don't care about that.
I'm just saying.
We've already gone through this in regards to Aaron's
film. I think Aaron Rodgers' taste.
Critiques.
I think Aaron Rodgers' taste leans more to my taste than your taste.
You know, he would probably prefer to watch Back to the Future 3 over The American, and I would not. So we've covered this.
I really do think that New York Bozo has everything to do with you. I'm sorry. I know I was making a joke on Twitter, but like if you look back at like the tweets and
you know what, Corey? You're not alone in that assessment. I'm trying to endeavor to find out, but I don't think so. I really don't think that in the heat.
It definitely wasn't Christie.
Of a playoff
like,
game.
That makes no sense. I've had so many New Yorkers be like, it was Christie.
In the heat of a playoff game, down there in the red zone, do or die to put up the first points of the game, he's leaning over to his offensive line and saying something about me.
Look, they flog.
See, this is my point.
They flog That's bloggers in Saudi
sounds.
Arabia. So clearly, okay? Clearly. Picking on bloggers is fun for people.
Yeah, especially people in
Don't
power.
Don't discount that.
People in power have.
And they can't make fun of the media types because they're there all the time. They have to put up with them all the time.
Yep, that's true. So here I am, New York Bozo. Although, and it was funny because then Rodgers did mention something about it. Did you hear what David said? And I went back and I listened to it today, and you definitely can hear when he goes, New York Bozo, New York Bozo. And then you definitely hear it's muffled. And it's very faint, but you definitely hear Bakhtiari go, what does New York Bozo mean? Like, he's, like, really panicked. Like, he has no idea what that check is.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
I just love that.
But here's the thing. Is that a protection call? So if Bakhtiari says, what does New York Bozo mean?
Is the call.
Now who's making the call?
Although, I don't know. The play or the next play, he goes strong right. That's Rodgers going strong right, and that's a slide right protection, and it's like, I tend to think strong right is probably a real call, as opposed to New York Bosa, which was awesome.
I mean, he's had some pretty good calls this year.
Oh yeah, what was that? Oh, he had one earlier. Talish will remember. He had one at the line of scrimmage the other week that was great. Something about buttons, I think. I don't know. Anyway, so that's Aaron Rodgers. Speaking of PFWA, Corey Linsley and HaHa Clinton Dix were named to the all-rookie team, so congratulations to them. I hope they get some consideration from the AP, though I doubt it. And then finally, the Packers are leaving early, ladies and gentlemen. Leaving early, leaving Friday, mixing up the routine a little bit here for the NFC Championship game. Can't say I blame them. We'll do everything different, Mike. This week, after the results from week one, switch it all up. Everything. What you have for breakfast, when you leave, what hotel you stay at. I mean, who you pray to the night before the game. Switch it all up. I don't care. Because whatever you did last time, that sure didn't work. There you go. That's Packers news.
Well, the other thing is that, let's talk about Mike McCarthy's press conference, okay?
All right.
Like, can't you just be honest?
About?
Like, I get, like from a semantic viewpoint, right?
Right.
You put Jordy Nelson left.
Oh, you're talking about that. Okay.
Right. And Richard Sherman didn't follow him over there.
He and Aaron have been like, they are in lockstep.
Such bullshit. Like, just call it bullshit. You didn't throw at Richard Sherman.
Because you were scared. Yep.
And you don't want to admit it.
Yep.
Especially now.
Yep.
And you made a mistake.
Yep.
And you don't want to own up to it.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy.
Both. Yes. Absolutely.
I love you guys, but come on. Like, do you think we're stupid? And then the media just buys into it, right? They're like,
he said that he didn't move over.
And it's like, dude, that's just semantics. That's a bunch of BS. He didn't throw right, bro. And, you know, Boomer Esiason on Inside the NFL was dropping some knowledge bombs and said exactly what I'm saying right now.
So you're saying you're stealing your stuff from Boomer Esiason?
No, I'm saying I thought about it. Yeah. Then I watched Inside the NFL.
You got some reinforcement.
Especially after Inside the NFL just made me really pissed off about the Packer highlight. Do not watch it. It's not very good. they spend so much time on the Dez Bryant play.
Oh, we are 16 minutes into the show. That's
Here's
pretty
the
good. The fact that we went 16 minutes
Here's the thing.
Without talking about it. That's pretty impressive.
It is a catch, okay? But
not by the letter of the law.
Exactly.
But in real world.
In the common sense of the world that is the earth.
Yeah, that's a
catch. It is a catch.
Yep.
In the world of the NFL,
I
agree. And it was interesting watching Mike Carey on Inside the NFL and Boomer Esiason. It was interesting talking about how it's true. Like, if you don't have a better rule. Mm-hmm. Then that's the best one there is because it does allow the official to be objective.
Yeah, that's
whereas if you and I like Brandon Marshall, don't get me started. He's like, well, it's a catch, and he's like, you're right, but subjectively, subjectively, it's a catch is not a rule that you can follow.
Yeah.
Now, to their point, they said, and we talked about this morning, the Denver game actually had they didn't follow the rule.
The Cribs fumble, yeah.
Which was a fumble.
Yeah. It's interesting because he doesn't control it all the way through the ground.
You know, now, what I'm going to say is, Dallas robbed Detroit.
Yep.
So now their ass got robbed by us. See, and you know what? There was two PI calls that were BS.
Bogus. Especially the first one.
Come
on,
dude.
The first one was ridiculous.
It was the you threw
best
it over
actor,
his head. You can't even.
Best actor to Terrence Williams.
It was ridiculous.
And the second one, I can understand why they called it, but that's an uncatchable ball as well.
If
so,
it's, yeah, if it's uncatchable. And I could have swore he tipped it. I was so happy.
Oh, the Peppers tip?
Yeah, the Peppers tip. Yeah. That wasn't. He didn't. There was space there. No.
But I will say, to wrap up the Dez Bryant ridiculousness, yes, to your point, even if he catches the ball, let's say he catches it. Hell, let's say he stretches out into the end zone and scores a touchdown. The Cowboys hadn't stopped the Packers all second half.
Yep.
I mean, make a play. All week long, we heard from Dallas and their cohorts and their head coach, we're talking about the wrong stuff.
Yep.
Make a play. You got third and three. You got Devontae Adams blanketed by the corner. Oh, Devontae Adams is going to take that football and run 26 yards.
That was
on
ridiculous.
Third and three? Make a play.
Oh,
stop your whining.
100%, 100%, 100%. Now, Devontae Adams, okay?
Oh, yeah. Baby.
Can we talk about 3 weeks ago how many people wanted Jeff Janis to play instead of Devontae Adams?
Preach it.
And what did we say on this show?
Preach it. Preach it.
He hit the rookie wall, and he just needs some more time. Just give the kid some time, and he's got that breakout game.
Boom.
Spin move was ridiculous.
But I do love that performance was preceded by you asking me in last week's show who is going to have a breakout game, Devontae Adams or Matt Flynn?
Well.
And you were right. You picked one. You picked one, and he certainly had a breakout game. I mean, it was awesome.
It was an amazing game. He had an amazing game. And that is something that was largely missing in the first week.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Yes. Well, we'll
have that.
And we will talk to Ross about that. Because these teams, I was watching the tape back two nights ago and earlier today, and these teams could not be more different. I mean, you look at how they used Percy Harvin alone in week one, the Seahawks. They're just an entirely different offense. We're an entirely different defense. And vice versa. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a fun game to watch.
I don't know if fun is the right word. Like
maybe if you're not painted up in the first row
here's
of the
thing.
Enemy territory, but it'll be fun.
Here's the thing. It's going to be fun.
Yes.
If we win. Okay? Because trust me.
You break it down, baby.
I will not be having any fun.
Break it down.
If we lose.
Yeah.
Because all risk, all reward.
Yeah, man.
But all risk.
You're all in.
It's all in. Chips are on the table.
We got to call Ross. Let's give him a ring and hope he picks up.
Well,
we're going to talk to Ross Tucker. Maybe. If he shows up.
He never friended us.
Well, you know. So we'll call his cell. We'll see. You know, these big time guests, they say they'll come on. And then they're not there. Like our friend Wayne Larrabee, how he rolls.
Actually, he like retweeted me the other day.
You know, we're all friends now. Back in the
Hello?
Day. Ross Tucker, it's Aaron Nagler. How are you, buddy?
Good, Aaron. How are you?
I'm doing all right. You are live, so don't say anything crazy. Although, you know, maybe four or five people are listening, so no worries. thanks a lot for taking the time, man.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Let's dive right into this Seahawks-Packers, you know, big-time showdown, NFC Championship game. Obviously, week one is a long time ago. We were just talking about how very different these teams are. How do you see, you know, the differences playing out on Sunday in regards to, you know, the Seahawks' offense was ruthlessly efficient on third down against Carolina. Do you think they can have that same success against the Packers' defense?
I think they can. I mean, that doesn't mean that they necessarily will, but I think they can because, you know, Russell Wilson, it just seems like he has such a tendency to be able to convert on third downs and make plays in those situations. I actually think it's really important that Green Bay wins first and second down, and I'm kind of skeptical of their ability to do that. I mean, you know, they were trying to take away, I felt like, DeMarco Murray on Sunday. He still rushed for 123 yards, and if Julius Peppers, you know, didn't put his arm out
yep.
and rip that ball out, That looked like, you know, I don't know what, 50, 60-yard touchdown.
Yeah, that's a touchdown.
And you know what? And the problem is, it's not just, you know, like DeMarco Murray running like it is with Marshawn Lynch. You've got the Russell Wilson threat. And for whatever reason, you know, Dom Capers' defenses have really struggled in the playoffs. I mean, I guess Kaepernick, the last 2 years, averaged 140 yards rushing in the playoffs against Dom's defenses. So I'm highly skeptical of Green Bay's ability to stop, you know, the Seahawks' rushing attack. I'm sure they're going to put Tremont Williams, Sam Shields in man-to-man coverage. They're going to have one deep safety middle of the field, and they're going to do everything in their power to stop the rushing attack, and that's their best shot. Tremont and Sam are going to have to win those matchups. They cannot get beat by Doug Baldwin and Jermaine Kearse. They're going to win.
Totally agree with that. I think the only way they do stop the run, and they've been doing it, but the only way they can do it is if they commit numbers. I mean, we've seen that time and again. The problem is you talk about the power, and the counteraction is what's really killed them. Like you said, Peppers makes that amazing play. Otherwise, that's a huge gain. You know, speaking of the defense, Carroll downplayed it today in the press conference, but do you think, you know, they're not a high blitz percentage team, but do you think they come after Rodgers a little bit more to maybe not test it out, but to try and like force him off the spot a little bit? Because we saw that he was sat back there pretty comfortably against the Cowboys.
I think they'll start by seeing if their front can get there, you know, and I think they're hoping they don't have to do that. I think they will put pressure on him one way or the other. They'll start by seeing if their guys can win up front. And I'm not so sure that they will. You know,
right.
If you remember from that first game, I thought Green Bay protected pretty well until Bulaga got hurt. Sherrod came in. You know, I don't need to, you know, throw any more dirt on that guy's grave, but he was a disaster.
Yeah, he was.
And that's really how the game changed. The Averill sack and then the safety with Michael Bennett.
Yep.
They actually protected Aaron pretty well. And I think they'll be able to do that again. I don't think this is the same, Seahawks pass rush of last year. And I actually think it's really, really important that Green Bay can run the ball and win first and second down. That's one of the big reasons and ways in which this game is different than the first one as well. You know, with Seahawks not having Brandon Mebane and Jordan Hill, I was watching their D tackles. They're not playing very well.
No,
I mean, Kevin
Williams
is looking old. He's playing high.
And he'll
Tony
flash
McDaniel's
every once in a while.
High.
Right.
I think there's a weakness up front in the D tackles for Seattle right now. I think that Green Bay, I know this isn't really their MO, I think they got to use their advantage with TJ Lang and Lindsley and Sitton and run right up the middle, counteract the speed. By running right up the middle, I think that the tackles for the Seahawks are a weak link right now.
I agree with that. I was really surprised at how much the Panthers tried to get outside on the Seahawks. You mentioned the speed. It's so apparent when you watch them. The inside-out pursuit is ridiculous. You know, flipping it around to the Packers and a team with very limited inside-out pursuit, I mean, I know you mentioned the need for the corners to lock down. I mean, Morgan Burnett and HaHa Clinton Dix are coming off a pretty poor game in run support. You know, other than the obvious that they have to, you know, make clean tackles and limit yak, do you see them able to kind of clean up anything where Lynch, you know, breaks into the second level? Is it over if Lynch gets to the safety spot is kind of what I'm asking.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that it's over, but I wouldn't feel real good about it. I mean, the whole key to that is to make sure that they insert themselves into the front, you know, close enough so that he never really gets that point and he never gets that head of steam going.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's the important point is you don't want to get to the point where he has space and he has room to make them miss or run over them. But there's no question those guys are going to have a good tackling game you know, I'm not telling you guys anything you don't know. It's gang tackling when you're going against Marshawn. But those guys have to play well. I mean, they were taken pretty high in the draft, especially Clinton Dix for a reason. They got to perform. And that's been one of the things. I mean, you think about how many resources Green Bay has invested in that defense.
Yep.
I'm really proud of Ted Thompson for dipping into free agency, bringing in Peppers. He's made a big difference. He needs to show up, and he needs to have a big game. But those guys, they got to get it done. It's time, right? If they don't, they're going to be in trouble, which is one reason why I think this game could be higher scoring than people think.
Yeah, I agree with that. Speaking of higher scoring and, you know, points coming out of the passing game, as our good buddy Jaworski likes to say, are you surprised at kind of the return of the prominence of the passing game in the playoffs? You look at last year, there were so many teams that seemed to lean on a power running game. This year, you can really say that Seattle is like the one true power running team. And then, the Patriots barely threw the ball in the second half last week. The Packers went to a spread against the Cowboys, and the Colts threw it all over the Broncos. Are you surprised that, you know, that trend towards, you know, more power running kind of came and seemingly went?
Not really. I think it's all based on matchups, and I think that, you know, I mean, look at the four quarterbacks that are left. I think you can argue it's the four guys that are playing the best at this point. And I think that in those matchups, you know, the Patriots knew that running on the Ravens trying to was pointless. I think the Colts wanted to put it in Andrew Luck's hands. I think the same thing with the Packers. I think they felt like their edge was with Aaron Rodgers against the corners, and the safeties for the Cowboys. So I think it's a lot of it based on matchups. You know, for all we know, the Patriots are going to come out and run
exactly
the ball 50 times against the Colts.
Absolutely. Well, you know, if Jonas Gray doesn't oversleep, we'll see. All right, and finally, you're an absolute legend for joining us. Let's get your brass tacks and give it to us straight. We're all big kids here. We can handle it. What's your prediction for Sunday's game?
Well, you know, I said this on my podcast, or I'll say this on my podcast as well. But I've got it Seattle 27, Green Bay 24. I think it's a very close game. I would not be surprised if it went either way. I think it's tough for Green Bay that Aaron Rodgers has the calf thing. I mean, I think I'd give them a better chance if he was able to make some plays with his leg. I just don't see him really being able to do that. Russell Wilson is like a magician back there. He will be able to make those plays. So I think that'll ultimately be the difference in the game, and that Seattle will pull it out. It's a shame that Aaron has that. You know, I'll tell you what, though, if he pulls this one out, hobbled like that, that's probably the most impressive victory he's had, even more so than that Atlanta playoff game. If he's able to do that in Seattle, you know, without really being able to run around and adapting his game, that will be one for the ages. That'll be a huge notch in his Hall of Fame belt.
Totally agree there. All right. Ross Tucker, NBC Sports Network, Sirius XM, NFL Radio, thank you so much for joining us tonight, buddy.
My pleasure, guys. Take care.
There we go. Ross Tucker hanging out here at CheeseheadTV.com. Bro, I like Ross. He's a good dude, even though he picked the Seahawks. Like, Corey's over here ready to throw something.
Okay. Let me just say this. Okay.
Why don't you
if I hear one more national pundit.
Say it to the guests.
One
Why do I
more
get the brunt of
national
it?
Pundit, okay?
Why do I
Let
yell
me
that?
Pick the easy choice. Let me just go out there and talk about how the Seahawks are. You know what? You remember a quarterback that didn't move? His name was Dan Marino. And guess what? Aaron Rodgers is just as good as Dan Marino was in his heyday. Hate to tell you, people.
This is true. Corey's making a lot of sense. Am I on drugs?
How many pundits does it take to pick the Seahawks in the NFC Championship game?
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
How many?
A few, I guess. Or apparently only one to set you off.
I'm sure. What do you mean one? Everybody in inside the NFL. Greg Bedard on Twitter.
Oh, no.
It's like, why don't you just add on to the pile on Peter King Jr.? Huh?
Who's that?
You!
Greg Bedard?
No,
Greg
you.
Greg Bedard is Peter King Jr.
No, you're Peter King Jr.
Hardly.
Greg Bedard is Peter King middle child.
No, no, no. We're getting to our predictions, so just relax. All right? Just relax.
No, I'm not going to relax.
Just R-E-L-A-X.
I am not relaxing until Sunday. I hate to tell you. My voice was already coming back. I've already got everything planned. Yeah. I'm going 4,000 miles.
Yeah, you are.
And I'm sick and tired of hearing people who get paid to watch the NFL. Watch the NFL then! Watch the NFL. It's so typical, dude. It's been happening since the 90s. It's been happening since before. I'm sure it happened in the 60s, too.
Probably.
This team, because it's from a small-ass town in America, gets the shortest stick at every possible moment in its life. It happened against Philadelphia. It happened against Atlanta. It happened against Chicago. It happened against Dallas. It happened every time we're in a playoff game. We get the short stick because we're Green Bay, because nobody's going to complain. Who's going to complain? There's only a million people watching when there's 8 million Giants fans.
Right. I hear you.
It's a calculated economic decision, and it takes no balls whatsoever.
So thanks to Ross Tucker for coming. Oh, my goodness. Should we do the offense now, or you just want to rant some more?
I hate you.
I just asked a question. Why am I getting hate? I don't understand why I'm getting hate here. Why am I the hate?
Because you're the only person across from me right now.
Right.
It's just so upsetting. It's
we
like,
just had a dude on the line for a good 10 minutes. You didn't say a word.
Why do we watch? Why do we watch all these TV shows?
I don't know, dude. They upset you, clearly.
Why? Why do we watch ESPN?
So I can have a job. I mean, not ESPN, but I sit in the chair and talk football.
Okay, speaking of Mr. Homer, Mr. Everybody Calls You, I guarantee you're not going to be picking the Packers in the NFC Championship game.
No, you guarantee it, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
I dare you.
You don't need to dare me, dude.
I dare you.
You double dog dare me?
Yeah. I double dog, triple brat, onion jam dare you.
No one cares what I say anyway.
Yeah, because you're a homer.
Yeah, total homer. And by the way, okay, now it's not my turn to rant. All right. At least I wear my homerness out of my sleeve, you know? At least it's right there in my bio on Twitter that I am a co-founder of CheeseheadTV.com. And if you don't know, that makes me a freaking Packers fan, then you're a freaking idiot.
That's true.
I am sick and tired of being belittled for being a homer in the national media when I could point out of folks in the NFL media who have a rooting interest for certain teams who hide it, some better than others. I mean,
well, then
at least
Brandon
I'm
Marshall
open.
Doesn't hide it. At least Michael Irvin doesn't hide
at
it.
At least I'm open and
not
honest.
Hide it.
Yeah, but they're like ex-players. They don't count. Of course they're going to root for their teams. I'm talking in the media people who never played the game, who cover the league, who have blazingly obvious biases that they totally either hide or deny. That's my gripe. That's my little rant. At least I'm honest, people.
Yeah, I agree with you. Jersey L, I know. I do, too, like when everybody picks us as the underdog. Mm-hmm. It just gets old because it's so transparent why people do it, because it's so easy to do. It's the easiest choice to make.
Now, wait a second.
What's the easier choice, picking Seattle or the Packers?
But what if they really think Seattle's going to win? Seattle's a pretty good football team.
I don't believe them.
Seattle's a pretty good football team.
Yeah.
And I caught major hell the other night. I'm major hell. Because I said, you know, the Seahawks are an incredible football team, and CenturyLink is a very tough place to play. But this is not the slaughter that a lot of people are making
it
out to
be. No, but here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, okay?
Yep.
Has anyone watched Aaron Rodgers this season? Seriously. Okay? Russell Wilson is a stepchild to Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback.
You heard him, people.
Is there a better thrower in the NFL right now? It's not
no.
Peyton Manning.
Nope.
It's not Tom Brady.
Nope.
Who is it? This guy is playing as good as Dan Marino when he's sitting just like a lame duck. Everybody got on Dan Marino. And then when he can move around, he's unstoppable.
I agree.
He beat he beat the Steelers with his own bare hands in the Super Bowl.
He did. It's true. Can we talk about the offense now?
Yes.
Let me get back on script.
Let me just say, that was not a diss on Ross Tucker. Ross Tucker.
We love inviting national people
on
the show.
And then they never
come on. This is why I don't invite national people on the show, Corey. Because all you do is rip them apart.
Look, I'm just a fan. I'm just a little fan sitting here in my little desk in New York City. I'm just a little guy.
You are just a little guy in a big town.
I'm a little small fish in a big pond. And I'm not afraid to call out all the big fish for being big fish.
Do it, dude.
It's cool.
I got it.
I get it. I get it. I get why they're doing it.
They're doing it because they think Seattle's really good, not because there's some socio-economical reason. Get that nonsense out of here.
No, they're doing it because they don't watch the Packers.
You had me until that nonsense.
They're doing it because they don't really watch the
Packers. Now, that might
be
true.
Because they're a small market team.
There is some ridiculous recency bias. I will give you that.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a combination of two things. It's a combination of recency bias. They saw them absolutely roll over the Panthers last week. In the second half, anyway. And it's I remember the highlights from week one, and I see the score from week one. Oh, the Seahawks are going to roll.
Exactly.
I'm here to tell you, it's going to be a close game.
Now, I guarantee you, so that's why I'm saying, like, Ross Tucker, I guarantee you, he watches all the games just like you. I'm not calling him out for that. Yep. He's just another, it's just another cog in the machine. It's like, it's...
Can we talk about the offense now?
Yeah, I had the graphic up. I was ready. I know what I want to do first. Hey, we're going for those of you. We got a lot more people on right now. Ever since we got Ross Tucker,
hey Ross Tucker,
all of a sudden he was very popular. So
and now you've slagged him off, and they're all gone.
Yeah, no, they stayed. You want to win, this beautiful Get Loud Lambo is at the divisional playoff game. I got it myself at the front gate. Please tweet. I'm watching Packer Transplants on Cheesehead TV, sponsored by @WiscoDiscoBeer. You can win it. We're going to announce the winner tonight. I will not be sending it before the Seattle game, so don't even complain that I didn't do it. I'm giving you the disclaimer right now. When I get back from Seattle, I'll be sending it to you, but you'll have it, and it'll be a nice notch on your wall to get ready for the Super Bowl.
There you go. Notch on the wall to get ready for the Super Bowl. That sounds nasty. I like it.
I like it.
Can we talk about the offense now?
Yes.
All right. Here's my question. Here's my question.
I have a question for you about the offense, too, by the way.
All right. Here's my question before we get to that. Is Mike McCarthy, because I think this is the chance that the Packers have. I mean, they have lots of chances in regards to, as you mentioned, Aaron Rodgers playing out of his mind. As Ross mentioned, you know, being able to contain Marshawn Lynch at least somewhat, et cetera, et cetera. But the biggest chance they have is if Mike McCarthy does even more to alter his game plan specifically for the Seahawks. You heard Ross mention it. Power running game, A and B gaps up the middle. That is where Seattle is vulnerable. That is where you have to attack them. And if you get 1, 2, 3 yards in the first quarter, you have to stay with it. And I think they will, but we've got to see them commit, truly commit, not, oh, look, they're playing two high safeties, so we're going to run Eddie Lacy a bunch of times early and then go away from it later when it gets tough, which is kind of what's happened the last couple weeks. Commit.
It's interesting because, you know, during the game, during the second half, I was like, you know, and I know Eddie Lacy has this cold asthma thing, which a lot of people are pointing to. But, you know, since the week has went on and I've watched more of the game because when the playoffs happen, I tend to watch the game a little bit more than regular season. Regular season, I kind of look to you for, like, you know, how the plays went down. And one of my questions was going to be, why did we go to the spread offense in the second half and just kill it and just get away from the run when the run was so powerful? And I still have that question, but as the week has gone on, I've kind of been like, actually, that was really brilliant. Because in some ways, he might have seen some things and said, we can do this, but they did not have any clue what they were doing.
Yeah.
You could completely tell that the Cowboys were on their heels for most of the second half when we went to that offense.
Well, and it was Marinelli going, look, I know if I blitz, and then you just said it about Aaron Rodgers. Like, he's sitting in the pocket. That doesn't mean he's lost his arm or his mind. And if you blitz him, you better get home, because if you don't, he's going to kill you. And Marinelli just absolutely refused to. So when, you know, they sit back there in the too high shell, Mike just went, okay, we'll spread it out. We'll put Cobb in the backfield some of the time. Some of the time we'll spread him out. And, you know, we'll let Aaron go to work. And he did. And it was great.
Yeah, it was awesome.
But that is not going to work against the Seahawks.
But why not, though? Because I was talking to Jerry Garner, who is the president of Northwest Packerbackers. Their defensive line, there's one guy that's like, he was on IR. Like, they have weaknesses in their defensive line.
Exactly. I mean, that's exactly what
so our offensive line.
That's what Ross was just talking about.
Our offensive line could take over.
It's not about the pass rush. That's not the problem.
Okay.
It's not. I think I agree with Ross. Actually, I wrote it down in my questions to him, and then he went there before I even got to ask it to him. The fact that before Bulaga goes down in that first game, they were absolutely stonewalling the Seahawks. They were handling them. And they haven't discovered a magical pass rush all of a sudden. When the Seahawks rush four, unless there's a weak link to your offensive line, they don't get home. They make plays in the secondary.
Yeah.
Now, spreading it out and ninking and dunking is all well and good, but you got to be perfect, and you got to be perfect a lot. And the Seahawks cause you to be imperfect a bunch, whether it's stripping the ball after you catch it, whether it's hitting you as the ball gets there, whether it's absolutely cleaning your clock on a lot of the short throws. It's just a recipe for disaster. Don't look any further than either game that the Broncos played against them, either this year in the regular season or last year in the Super Bowl. You saw Manning, especially early, try to get into a bunch of quick stuff, short crosses over the middle, etc., that just got absolutely blown up. The smoke screen to the wide receiver on the outside, the inside-out pursuit that they have, renders that pretty much null and void. A slant will work.
Yeah.
You know, we all know how much Mike doesn't like to call a slant.
Yeah.
But you've got to pound the football. You've got to pound the football. That's why, of all the teams, and it's funny because Jim Harbaugh's not there anymore, but of all the teams that have had at least some success against the Seahawks, it's been the 49ers because they've ran Frank Gore up the wazoo. The Chargers did a great job of that week two of this year. Running the football. And it's not always going to be successful. It's going to be boring to watch. It's going to put you to sleep.
Well, that was one of the funny things.
You got to do it.
One of the funniest things, and why I tend to not like watching games with other Packer fans. Not that I don't love Packer fans.
Of course.
But literally, there's a guy like four rows back in Lambeau. Every time we ran the ball, he had no patience, right?
Right.
It was a run. Even when it would break out, he would automatically complain as soon as we ran the ball. And I'm like, dude, like, do you have any idea?
I know. And then I remember that run in the third quarter where they have been. And they started, it was kind of tough to watch. Like, they weren't getting anywhere. That first series, they always do well, and then it kind of slows down. And then that third quarter run where Lacy just went off, it was great. And it's like, you're waiting for that. And that's why Mike's got to stay with it, because it will bust loose. It will bust loose.
I so want to see Eddie Lacy punch Richard Sherman in the mouth.
Hey, play that vine. Play that vine. Because this is what I'm talking about, is in regards to the adjustments that will be made or can be made or could be made. This is great, because this is obviously in deference to the fact that Aaron has his calf is hurt.
That one or the other one?
No, this one. And see, you've got those two backs there, and that's a pistol look where Aaron is in shotgun, Lacy is behind him in shotgun, which makes it a pistol, and then you've got Kuhn on the same level as Aaron. And that is actually, I now know, is called Kings.
But Lacy ran a little bit too fast for that play.
A lot of people pointed this out. He would have probably
had a touchdown.
And again, as I said to them, if you look on the All-22, there's a safety coming over the top, and I understand he probably could have just trucked the guy and cut back inside and, like, you know, gained a bunch of yards, but, you know, you're running, you're going out there in the open field, you're gaining a ton of yards. Like, man, you do you, Eddie. You do what you got to do. Expect a heavy dose of Eddie Lacy if Mike is smart. And also, Quick passes are fine, just no shallow crosses. Just don't shallow cross. Someone's going to get killed if they run a shallow cross against this team. That's all I'm saying.
Here's the thing. Like, I have a feeling, okay?
Yeah.
This is all gut, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that they're going to now game plan
right.
for Jordy and Devontae.
Right.
And they're going to forget about Randall Cobb.
I don't know, man.
How do you cover? I don't care how good your secondary is, right?
How do you cover all three?
How do you cover all three when they're on the
They've
field?
They've got some good corners.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you cover all three?
Lacy. That's the problem.
And then deal with Lacy.
Yeah, that's the issue. But because they play the cover three predominantly, they're able to have a safety who drops down in that shallow zone. And then if it's run, he comes up. You saw a bunch.
But then
and
you need Richard Rodgers to have the game of his life.
That's a big point where you've got Devontae Adams and you've got Richard Rodgers, who were pretty negligible in the first matchup. I mean, you had Jared Boykin out there running against Richard Sherman, for God's sakes, you know, producing nothing. Got to think, Devontae Adams and Richard Sherman absolutely help a little bit. And I will say, you know, I've had a lot of people ask me about, like, what are their chances this week? What do you think will happen? I think Mike McCarthy has to do two things. He has to basically call the game of his life. He has to call the type of game that he called up in New England when he had Matt Flynn as his starter. And I'm not saying that Aaron Rodgers is, like, so hurt that he's Matt Flynn-esque. God, no. As you were just attesting, the guy is still an assassin from the pocket, all right? He's amazing. But you cannot put this game, this particular game, you cannot put it on Aaron's shoulders. You just cannot. Just the same way he did it up in New England with Matt Flynn. He did not put that game on Matt Flynn's shoulders. Matt Flynn threw a couple of really good passes.
I want to agree with
Aaron you. Aaron Rodgers can throw those passes. Aaron Rodgers can make the throws you need him to make. He's got to call surprise on sides. He's got to, at some point, there's going to be some kind of fake kick involved. Like, he will make those calls. He's going
Here's
to have
the thing.
To.
I want to agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
But every time
right.
in my life, okay?
Yeah.
That I have doubted for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers.
Right. I'm not doubting him.
He has proved me wrong.
Yes, I agree.
And so here's the thing. I think in this league right now, Jersey Al, I'm sure you're going to have an opinion about this. In this league
Man,
right
Jersey
now.
Jersey Al is in your head, dude.
Dude, I love Jersey Al. I love that he's on the show. He's on the chat. Look, now you made me forget what I was going to say.
Oh,
Tim
dude.
Naylor!
Okay, Aaron Rodgers, every time you doubted him, he's proved you wrong.
I hate you.
I'm sure Jersey Al is going to disagree or have a take in this league. Talking about the league.
I think people look, okay, and this goes to, I read this article in the New York Times about college players
right.
and how they're not actually, right, that college Division I football
right.
is not a training ground for yeah. the NFL anymore.
No.
Right? It's like when people are like, who's the best player, Mariota or whatever, all the
Winston,
top college
right,
players.
Right.
And then you have a guy like Aaron Rodgers who can't even get a break in Division I because right. he's actually made for the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, the reality is, like, the draft is wrong. Like, how we're drafting players in some ways is wrong. You're
a
drafting guys like
yeah.
Johnny Manziel, who's never going to be anything in the NFL, and or right. Prayer Guy, whatever his name was. What's
Tebow.
Tebow, right? And it's like they're huge in college, right?
Right?
And it's like we've gotten so much into this run option game, right? Where
mm-hmm.
where the quarterbacks of the day are the Colin Kaepernicks,
mm-hmm.
not this season,
mm-hmm.
and the Russell Wilsons,
right.
that we forget that like a pure passer
right.
is still relevant in this league.
Absolutely.
And well, I do think
just
that...
Just look at the teams playing on Sunday. Absolutely.
I mean, look at the game against Dallas. So much doubt against Rodgers.
Yeah.
And he tailored his game to his injury.
He did. Absolutely.
In the same way that Brett Favre did his
okay.
entire career.
Here's my question to you. Do you think, lots being made there, Aaron was asked at the podium today. Oh, you know, you came out in the second half, and how much of that was just you realizing that your calf was just, you know, what it was, and you were going to have to deal with it, and blah, 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 blah. No one asks, did he take anything? Did he just,
you
like,
know
absolutely,
he did.
Like, take some horse pills and tranquilizers and whatever, and did he just? I mean, he had to have just
pharmacology had a lot had to have
all
to
up
do with
the
it.
Wazoo,
yes.
right? Because it sure looked like a guy who had something done to him at halftime. That's all I'm saying. Like, I don't know what it was. I don't want to know what it was, but it had to be something.
I don't. I mean, and his to be truthful, he didn't have the greatest game. His throws were off compared to what he usually does. Right?
Some of them were, some of them weren't, though.
Exactly.
Wait. And that's something.
Once he started getting hot,
can
it was
we?
Over.
Can we? And I mentioned this on Twitter. Can we eliminate the corner out to Randall Cobb, please? I mean, I know it's good once every five times we throw it, but can we eliminate that from the playbook, please? Because I went back and I watched week one. Oh, look at that. Two incompletes, two wasted plays to Randall Cobb on the corner out. I'm done with that play. I am done with the corner
but here's the
to
thing.
Randall Cobb.
If you look at Denver.
If for no other reason that Randall Cobb stops running. Two of those plays on Sunday. They call the corner. Cobb stops running when Aaron's throwing him the ball. Dudes, enough with the corner out.
I hear you.
Sorry, I had to get that out.
But I will say, like, if we took as many chances downfield on downfield passes as Denver takes,
right?
I actually think
you think we'd be a little more successful.
I do.
I do too. But that's always been.
But
Aaron's,
it's hard. That's a hard thing.
And
to
it's
do.
Always been Aaron's MO. You know, risk averse. You know, he's not going to take that shot unless he has a free play. Like, if the guy's offsides,
or it's clear one on one. Yeah,
or it's clear one on one. Exactly.
Which is
and
hard
then,
to determine on a
pre-snap. You know, it was hard to watch. He had those two shots that he kind of took. Deep. One was to Jordy on a free play.
Yeah.
And he threw it out of bounds.
Yep.
And you could tell he was pissed afterwards. Yep. Like, that was a tough play because that's a touchdown. If he lays that out in front of Jordy, that's a touchdown. So that's tough. And then there was the kind of pseudo like rollout where usually he fakes the handoff and runs like maybe 10, 20 steps on a rollout. And then takes the shot, the patented shot to Jordy that we've all seen a million times. Like, and instead of the 10 to 20 steps, he just like took two or three steps upfield. Like, they completely curtailed that play, and it would have been there. But Lindsley missed a stunt, and then the guy like flushed him out, and he had to throw it to Corliss. All that said, I think those opportunities will be there because inherently in a cover three, they are. We've seen T.Y. Hilton have big success against the Seahawks. Going deep with that very thing where you get deep and you've got to have two guys and you put stress on that. And that's how the Broncos came back earlier this season. When they were down, it looked like that game was over. And they sent it to overtime basically by running the same play over and over and over again to one side of the field. Incidentally, it was away from Richard Sherman. But they literally ran the same play three times and it got them down the field. It was a simple put stress on that safety. Have one guy, they're both going up, and then one guy goes out, one guy goes in, and the safety is going to naturally react to the in cutter, and the guy on almost a wheel route goes up, and Manning hit him like basically three times. It was the same play. It's a cover three beater. I think they could have success. I highly doubt Mike and Aaron go that route, at least not early, but there's success to be had there. There's no doubt.
Here's my problem with the pundits. Before we go to defense, okay?
I like how you say this after I'm all pundit-y. That's good.
Okay.
That's good.
There is a potential.
Potential.
Right?
Been a long time.
For the offensive line of the Green Bay Packers, which arguably is the best offensive line we've had in 10 years, which is insane considering we have a rookie center.
No doubt.
Insane.
No doubt.
Could take over this game.
I absolutely 1,000%
single-handedly take over the game. That is what kind of line we have, and that is what kind of defensive line the Seattle Seahawks don't have.
I agree with that.
That's where the pundits miss.
And Ross said it right, though. So Ross was spot on when he says, you know, the Packers got to win on first and second. They can't get into third and long. They get into third and long, they allow Averill and Bennett to pin their ears back. As good as Bulaga is and as good as Bakhtiari is, they're going to be in trouble. They're just going to be in trouble. With that secondary behind them, they are going to be in trouble. They have to stay ahead of the sticks. It's never been more important for them to stay on schedule in regards to the down distance. But I totally agree. How do you do that? You run the flipping ball. Run the ball up the middle. Get after them in the running game. Because that's, I mean, if they stay ahead of the sticks, and you can put Aaron Rodgers in that pocket on second and four, second and three, he's going to tear you apart. There's no doubt about it.
We got to talk defense.
All right, let's talk some defense. Let's talk about Sam Shields. Let's talk about Sam Shields not getting caught watching the read option action. Sammy boy.
Let's talk about him going from Bee's Knees to Wisco Disco real
quickly.
Dude,
that's some serious movement right there.
Woo!
But seriously, we all remember the horrific play where in week one, he gets caught watching the backfield and then, you know, touchdown Seahawks and massive lamentation later. We are all looking at Sam Shields going, what are you doing, dude? Can't do it, Sam. This is the week. And speaking of the secondary, I want to kind of mention something here. It's interesting that last week we were all wondering, some of us were wondering about Devon House and would he match up with Dez Bryant? Would he play? Guy didn't see the field.
No.
Not one snap.
No, and actually when I told somebody, I was waiting in line.
Not one snap.
I was waiting in line at Lambeau.
Yeah.
And I told somebody that Devon House was going to be on Dez Bryant. He literally looked at me like I was the biggest moron you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, they just don't know football. It's all right.
But then he wasn't, so I was a big moron.
He would have been if he'd been healthy, but it's pretty clear that he wasn't.
Okay, I just want to get this out there real quick.
But was there, wait,
because a lot of
let me finish this. Wait, it was really interesting.
Oh, yeah, Devon
is that
House.
Devon House, not on the injury report, not even listed.
So what does that mean?
I want to see some flipping Devon House on Sunday.
So what does that mean?
No idea. We'll find out.
Right, everybody was asking me about Tremont Williams while we're on the secondary.
Oh, we'll go to the secondary play. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So the touchdown.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
Oh,
I'm literally watching.
You're in Lambeau, the number one president of the Tremont Williams fan club in attendance, watching him on that play. Corey was absolutely watching Tremont.
I actually was.
And, on the
and
play. Before the play
always,
happened, Corey's like, I'm going to watch Tremont in this play.
Yes. And he kept looking at the
man.
Line. He wasn't looking at Terrence
Williams. Yeah.
And so, and then he, like, until the snap, he looked at him, and then he, like, threw off the line. He went back, right?
Started backpedaling, because as you're taught as a DB, your
and
first steps are almost always backwards.
He just made, like, you could tell, like, he just not make a good play on the open tackle. Like, he failed on the open tackle.
Yes,
now, truth be told, the safety should have helped him out on the touchdown
part. A little bit. There's a lot of pathetic effort on that
play. But
here's
the thing, though, okay? If you watch the game again, he did not have a bad game, actually.
Nope. I totally agree. But I had to put him in the bad for that one play.
Of course. People hate on cornerbacks. This is a classic example where they let one touchdown go. And look, truth be told, he screwed up.
Yep.
Like you could tell he's like sniffing out the line, trying to figure out stuff.
Yeah.
Now, maybe that's because he has more responsibility. You know what I mean?
Who knows?
We don't know, right? But he's not paying attention to his man.
Right.
He lets the play happen in front of him. Yep. He misses the tackle clearly.
And that's the most
egregious
part.
And then a rookie safety decides that he doesn't want to tackle Terrence Williams.
Well, it's
either.
Two of them. It's the rookie safety and it's Micah Hyde. I mean, both of them are pathetic on that play. But yeah, it's the tackle. And what's funny is that Tremont's been much better this year in regards to coming up
Alan,
and tackling on that play.
Can we not talk about next year, Alan? Okay?
Why you got to go there, Alan?
Alan, we got Sunday and then we got the Super Bowl. Okay? We need Tremont right now. I'm going to ban him. I can't handle it. I can't have the Packer fans ganging up on Packers.
Dude, welcome to my Twitter feed, dude. All
what
I get.
What the hell,
like, if I point out one nice play, everyone's like, oh, well, you didn't do this, and you didn't do that, and you should have done this, and you should have done that, and oh, well, he's going to be, his contract's up, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, yo, can I point out one good play, please? It's okay. It's okay to look at that and go, yeah, that's a nice play. It's okay. Trust me. It's okay.
Let's just move on.
Emotions running high.
Daytona and Nick Perry.
If you haven't yet, I highly suggest you check out Brian Caravu's piece on CheeseheadTV.com earlier this week about Daytona Jones and Nick Perry, because he makes perfect points throughout about how Daytona and Nick Perry, former first-round picks, while not dominant, are most certainly making plays. Now, not huge plays.
Daytona has been really good.
He's been
picking it up
and,
this season.
You know, I go back to week three against Detroit when you remember Devon House's interception, which was beautiful, and it was overthrown on Calvin Johnson, and he rolls into the end zone, and then we have the horrible sequence on the 1 yard line. But yes, that interception was caused by Dayton Jones.
Yeah.
Putting pressure on Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
And that's what he does. Mike Daniels on the great sack.
Dude,
where
Mike Daniels bull rushing. Oh my goodness, this is ridiculous.
Okay, the bull rush sack happened first. And then the second one is when they switched after the quarter. Mike Daniels is being held on that second sack. Go back and watch Dayton Jones on that play. Because it's so, like, guy takes out literally three Cowboys. Like, he loops inside on the stunt, gives himself up, three Cowboys pay attention, and meanwhile, Tony Romo is being sacked. That doesn't get put in your box scores Monday morning in the paper.
Well, and that's the other thing.
You know, that does not show up in any quantifiable way.
No.
But it's there on tape, and it's awesome.
Well, in the back-to-back sacks, it was a difference maker.
Awesome.
You know,
great plays. Mike Daniels
is the defense making them, forcing the field goal, their false start, missing the field goal. That sequence of events was the game in a lot of ways.
I love it. I love it. The 6-point swing at the end of the half was huge.
Huge.
It's a 5-point game, for God's sakes. You know, I mean, it was a huge swing. And, you know, we talk about Mike Daniels, and we've had him on the show a couple times. Love the guy. More than life itself. He's a boss. He is a boss, and he is going to make a play. What has to happen on Sunday, we've had games where Clay has made plays.
Yeah.
We've had games where Julius has made plays. We need a game where Julius Peppers and Clay Matthews are both making plays.
What about Clay? Okay, so it was interesting watching Clay in this game.
Yeah.
He was the Energizer Bunny.
Yes.
He really was. He was all over the place.
Is. That's what they ask him to do.
But even more so.
Yeah.
Okay. Why can't Clay just be the Russell Wilson spy in this game? Tell me why. Tell me why that can't just happen.
It can and probably will happen. Don't forget, back in the Super Bowl against the Steelers, he was the spy on Ben Roethlisberger for a good deal of that game.
But I feel like here's the thing. Okay. So what did we learn this season about Clay Matthews? Stand him up.
Yep. Get him away from the line of scrimmage. And
he's better.
Let him wreak havoc.
Right?
I don't know if he's better.
Okay, but he makes more plays.
It's hard, and it's funny, because Pete Carroll mentioned this today in his press conference, how he's so aggressive. And we saw the Seahawks take advantage of that aggressiveness a couple times back in week one.
Yep.
And you have to think that Packers and Dom are obviously cognizant of that, and they know. You know, God bless him. We love Clay. We love his aggressiveness. But keeping him off the line of scrimmage, keeping him in the middle, allows him to do things like spy.
But that's what I'm saying. What if the second thing we learn about him is that if he's not the Energizer Bunny and he actually has the intelligence to, like, understand what's happening and let him play.
Right. Well, and I think that's kind of what's
happening. Just play loose and not be
energized. No, no, no.
He seemed like he was real energized.
What you interpret as Energizer Bunny, I think, is kind of what you're talking about. There are concepts with the defensive front where he is told, now, this is your assignment, but if you see something, go get it. You've seen that a couple times, I think, especially over the last half of the year, where, you may be playing, you know, some kind of simple trap zone or whatever, and Clay will see action in the backfield, and he'll know he's got a key where he can let loose, basically, and he just flashes into the backfield. He drew a holding call on Sunday doing just that very thing. I think kind of exactly what you're talking about. There, he is kind of bouncing all over the yard, but he's doing so in a way because he knows, okay, now I can get crazy. It's Troy Polamalu-esque in the good way, not the bad way where he can't cover and he's slow and his career's over. But in the good way, back when Polamalu used to wreak havoc, that's kind of how they're using Clay Matthews. Like, okay, this is your assignment, but if you see something, go get it.
If you see something,
say something.
Say something.
New Yorkers will know that.
Which leads us to our next segment.
That's right. It's the return of This Week in the Packers Blogosphere, that venerable series. Corey, what's going on in the Packer Blogosphere this week?
So, this week in the Packers Blogosphere, we have the...
what do we got?
Northwest Packer Backers.
Come on, now.
Jerry Garner, I talked to him tonight. He is the president. He is actually the Northwest Packer Backers. It's pretty badass. Steve Tate was the one who turned me onto this. We got to talk
about... Would that be Steve the owner?
That's Steve the owner. So we got to talk about him almost every show because he's the man. I was talking to Steve Tate on Sunday. No. Steve Tate was talking to me about the first game against Seattle, and I thought it was pretty amazing that... Jerry Garner, who is the president of the Northwest Packer Backers, they've been around for a long, long time, by the way. Mm-hmm. I think like 20 years. I think it's like pretty long, right?
That's a long time.
And they're actually working with the Packers on their pep rally. We're going to be doing a post about it tomorrow. We're going to be talking about it. There's a pep rally on Saturday with the Packers and the Northwest Packer Backers at the Mustard Seed.
The Mustard Seed.
Which is the place that they hang out. So apparently in Seattle, it's not a big thing to tailgate. But
which is weird.
I talked to Jerry, right? He spent 3 months prepping for the tailgate for the first game of the season this year.
Awesome.
Spent the Northwest Packer Backers spent over $4,000 to rent the lot.
What?
Yeah, it's crazy, dude. I was this guy is like legit as hell. I can't wait to meet this guy, Jerry Garner. I talked so Sunday we're going to be tailgating at the Mustard Seed. So it's a double Mustard Seed event. Saturday, Mustard Seed. Sunday, right. Mustard Seed.
No, whoa. You're burying the lead here. Because the best part about all of this is that the Packers are officially involved. And at that Saturday pep rally, you will be with Jerry. And you will be prominently featured close to, next to, right by one Mr. Vic Ketchman.
Vic Ketchum.
I cannot flippin' wait. See... that
it's going to take everything within my power not to punch Vic Ketchman in the face. I'm sorry, Jason Wallers, but it's the truth.
Jason doesn't care.
I know.
Just don't embarrass us.
It's too late.
Don't bring shame to the Cheesehead TV name.
Too late.
Good point.
I mean.
God.
So anyway, if you're in Seattle. Oh, and here's the other
thing. Going to the game.
Here's the other thing that's going to blow your mind.
What's that?
Okay. I have one additional front row ticket.
Oh, my God.
And I don't have any idea who's sitting next to me.
You heard it here first, people.
It could be my cousin, because my cousins are going.
Right.
But it's not confirmed.
So it could be anyone. It could be a viewer. It could be someone offering you money for that ticket. Is that what you're telling me?
Yep.
Is that what you're trying to do? You're trying to flog your ticket?
Yep. No, I'm not. No. Here's the thing.
All right.
If I find the right person,
right.
There's no money that needs to change hands. It's a special moment.
Oh my God.
Special moment in Seattle with yours truly. on the front row of Seattle's piece of crap stadium where we're going to destroy them.
That's all the time we have tonight. Packer Transplants, thanks so much for dropping by.
NFC Championship!
Big thanks to Ross Tucker for dropping by.
NFC Championship?
Come on now.
Really?
One game away.
We are one game away from the Super Bowl, people.
One game.
Okay, in the history of the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
That's happened like...
a couple times?
17 times. Which is... not that many.
I don't know about all that, but
okay,
it's having a bunch. Oh,
it hasn't happened since 2010, which then it happened. Hasn't happened since 2007.
Yep.
Which then it happened. Hasn't happened since 1997.
Yep.
Which then it hadn't happened since
1996. I'm glad you brought 2010 and 1997 up because those were won. Those were won on the road.
That's right.
On the road.
That's right.
Right. I'm just saying. That'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank Ross Tucker for joining us and everyone connected with us on the live chat. Thank you so much. You guys are the reason we do this. Packer fans, you are the absolute best. We are and always will be about Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thank you so much. Go Pack Go.
Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out, any of that can can be used in any positive way whatsoever.
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?
Shh.